Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going to take a classic air horn hit and turn it into something way more useful for old school jungle and dark DNB. Not just louder, not just bigger, but tighter, grittier, more sample-like, and much more locked into the groove. The reason this matters is simple. In drum and bass, especially in jungle-flavored or old-school-inspired tracks, a horn stab should behave more like percussion with attitude than like a long floating sample. If it's too wide, too clean, or too long, it can smear into the break, step on the snare, and fight the sub. So the goal here is to make it hit hard, leave space, and sound like it came off a dusty machine that's been abused in all the right ways. First, start with a raw air horn sample on an audio track or, even better, drop it into simpler, so you can shape it like a proper one-shot. Before you do any heavy processing, pull the clip gain down if it's too hot. That's a really important move. If the source is already slamming into your devices, the distortion and bit reduction will get messy fast. We want control first, then grime. Now tighten the sample at the source. Zoom in and move the start marker right onto the first transient. In fast music, even a few milliseconds of dead space can make the hit feel lazy. Trim the tail so it doesn't hang over the next snare or break accent. Think of the horn in three layers: the front edge, the bark in the midrange, and the short tail or room dust at the end. If it feels weak, figure out which of those layers is missing before you just turn it up. Inside simpler, set it to classic mode for straightforward one-shot behavior. Turn warp off if you want a more natural transient and a cleaner sampler feel. Set voices to 1 if this is just a single stab. Then shape the amplitude envelope. Attack at 0. Decay somewhere around 80 to 250 milliseconds depending on how punchy you want it. Sustain at 0. And release somewhere short like 20 to 60 milliseconds. The exact timing depends on the roll of the hit. If it's a quick call and response stab, keep it short. If it's a phrase marker at the end of a drop section, you can let it breathe slightly more. Once the envelope is under control, we can add sampler style attitude. Drum bus is a great place to start if you want that harder smack. Keep boom very low or off, because we're not trying to inflate the low end. Use a little drive and a bit of crunch, and then adjust the transient control depending on how sharp the attack feels. If the front is too spitty, back the transient off. If it needs more bite, push it forward a bit. The goal is that the horn feels like it belongs inside the break, not sitting on top of it like a random sample pasted over the mix. Now for the crunchy texture. This is where the old-school sampler character really happens. Add saturator, turn soft clip on, and start with a moderate drive amount. You don't want to flatten the sound, you want to rough up the edges and thicken the bark. After that, try redux for a bit of sampler era dirt. Reduce the bit depth gently, maybe around 8 to 12 bits, and bring the downsampling down just enough that you hear texture instead of digital chaos. This is one of those moments where less is often more. A subtle reduction can make the horn sound properly griny, while too much can make it turn brittle and ugly. After the dirt, clean up the tone with EQ8. High-pass the horn somewhere around 120 to 200 Hz so it stays out of the kick and sublane. If the body feels boxy, cut a bit in the low mids around 250 to 500 Hz. If it needs more presence, add a gentle lift somewhere in the upper mids, roughly 1.5 to 4 kHz. And if it starts getting icy or harsh, take a narrow cut around 6 to 8 kHz. The key is to keep the horn aggressive without making it fight the snare crack or the top of the break. If you want a more vintage sampled tone before the distortion, put auto filter before saturator and roll off some top end with a low pass around 10 to 14 kHz. That can make the horn feel darker and more warehouse instead of too clean and modern. A very nice chain to test is auto filter into saturator into redux into EQ8. That combo can get you a really convincing crunchy stab pretty quickly. Next, think about stereo width. In DNB, wide sounds can feel huge in solo but become a problem once the bass and drums hit. Use utility to keep the horn centered and controlled. If the sound is too wide, reduce width to somewhere around 70 to 90%. If you want it really heavy and direct, go narrower or even mono the body. A useful advanced trick is to split the sound into two layers. Keep the body centered and dry, then duplicate it and high-pass the duplicate so only the top bite remains. You can widen that top layer slightly or add a little chorus or send it to a short reverb. That gives you width without compromising the punch in the middle. Speaking of space, don't use a huge lush reverb here. That usually just blurs the groove. Instead, use short return effects. A tiny room reverb can make the horn feel like it came from a grimy sampler in a warehouse, and a short delay throw on phrase end hits can add a lot of attitude. Keep the return filtered, with the low end cut out and the top end controlled. The point is not to wash the horn away. It's to create a little dirty environment around it. Now let's talk about sidechaining. In advanced drum and bass mixing, you usually want more selective ducking than in standard dance music. Sidechain the horn from the drum group, or kick and snare bus so it gets out of the way just enough for the groove to breathe. Use a fast attack and a medium release, and aim for only a few dB of gain reduction. If the horn clashes with the bass line, add a light side chain from the bass bus too. That's especially useful in rollers or darker arrangements, where the horn lands over a sustained bass phrase. The horn should still feel rude, but it has to respect the drum and bass pocket. Here's an important teacher tip. Check this at low monitoring volume. If the horn still reads quietly, your mid-range balance is probably strong. If it disappears at low volume, it's relying too much on sheer loudness and not enough on good structure. Also, keep the break leading the groove. If the horn is masking the snare, reduce the 2 to 5 kHz area a bit or shift the timing so it lands just after the snare instead of right on top of it. A small timing move can make a huge difference. For more movement across the arrangement, automate the sound. Shorten the decay at the start of a drop, then maybe lengthen it a little in the main section. Darken the horn with filter automation before a drop, then open it up when the full drop lands. Push saturator drive a little more in the last 8 bars for extra hype. Automate the send to your delay return only on certain phrase end hits. You can even automate width, so the early part of the drop stays tighter and the later part opens up a bit more. That kind of progression stops the motif from feeling static. If you really want the true sampler finish, resample the processed horn to audio once the chain feels right. This is an underrated move. Once you print it, you can trim it tighter, nudge it a few milliseconds for better lock with the break, and treat it like a drum element instead of a living instrument. In a lot of advanced DNB workflows, the printed audio just glues better than the live chain. Now let's talk about a few common mistakes. The first is leaving too much tail. That will smear the snare and bass phrasing immediately. The fix is simple. Shorten the envelope, trim the clip, or use a more gate-like shape. Another mistake is over-distorting the horn. If it sounds fizzy instead of rude, back off the saturator or redux. And don't forget the low end. Horn hits do not need sub-weight. High pass them, always. Also, check mono compatibility if you widen the hit. A wide horn that collapses badly in mono can vanish on club systems or become weak in the center. Here's a powerful mini workflow. Make 3 versions of the same horn. One clean and tight, one crunchy and sampled, and one dark and aggressive. The clean version can be the short, centered stab with very little ambience. The crunchy version can have saturator, redux, a bit of room, and slightly reduced width. The dark version can be a little shorter, a little more distorted, and maybe get a filtered delay only on the last hit of a phrase. Then place all 3 against a 16-bar drum and bass loop with a sub or res and listen to which version cuts best, without fighting the snare or the low end. For arrangement, think in phrases. A horn can act like a marker at the end of an 8-bar or 16-bar section. It can answer a snare fill, hit after a drum stop, or come in as a call and response with the bass line. You don't want it landing exactly on every snare all the time, because that can flatten the groove. Try placing it just after the snare or on the upbeat before the next bar. In jungle especially, that little bit of space can make the impact feel much harder. Here's a great challenge to finish with. Build a 3-state horn system in Ableton Live 12. One version should be impact, short, centered, and dry. One should be grime, more saturation, a little room, a little dirt. And one should be transition, filtered or reversed, used before a drop or phrase change. Test all 3 against a full break, a res, and a sub-heavy section. Then export a quick bounce and see which version still sounds strong even at low volume. So the big takeaway is this. Tighten the horn at the source, shape it like a sampler, add crunch with intention, keep the center clean, and let the break lead the groove. Do that, and your air horn stops sounding like a random sample and starts sounding like a proper old-school DNB weapon. Proper rude, proper focused, and ready to smash through the mix.